Welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Download. We got some great stuff for you today. It's me, Cardinal Mason. Nice to see you. And we got Chase over here in the studio. Chase, what's up, man?
How are you, bud? I know you're traveling. Your background is really cool. It doesn't look real, but I know it's real. Are you in, you're in Dallas, right?
I'm in Dallas. Yeah. It kind of looks like, now that I look at it, like a hippie American flag.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like if the Green Party. Wait, do you guys have a Green Party? That's a Canadian thing.
I have no clue, to be honest. I have no clue.
It's like if the Green Party ran America, they would change the flag to this, whatever this is. But anyway, yeah, man. Dallas is nice. I'm getting closer to your time zone. So instead of 3 hours apart, we're 2 hours apart. I will never be in PST. I hate PST. It's the worst. It makes me feel so unproductive. 3 hours late to everything. But anyway, dude, let's talk about what's on this list here.
Let's do it. What do you got?
All right, so the first one I got is productivity hacks, everyone's favorite Twitter engagement bait, 10 productivity hacks that you won't learn in school. Why don't you give me some of the stuff that helps you be productive in a somewhat chaotic household sometimes? Like what keeps you on track?
Yeah, I think the biggest one for me was simple, and it was something I found maybe like 1 or 2 months ago. On the iPhone, there's this thing called Focus. I know you use it. You probably were using it long before I was. I found it recently. And just being able to like not have anyone pass through to my phone, like no texts notify me, no phone calls, no social media notifications. That was a big one. And before, you know, I would be working, I'd get a notification, I would look at my phone, I'd be distracted, forgot what I was doing. And now it's just like, I only check my phone if I'm waiting on something important or if I need to do something important. And I don't even really like look at people's texts. So I've become a little bit slower and less responsive on social and text. But my productivity and honestly, my happiness is like tenfold. I think that's been one. And then two, like hiring help at home, like hiring like people to help my wife with the kids and like, hey, you know, text my wife, the screaming is really, really loud right now. Could we tone it down? And then I think the last one is like, instead of trying to multitask on like a million things and have like a million tabs, like really trying to focus on like one or two things at a time and just knocking those out and moving on. I think before I was just so scatterbrained trying to do 12 things at once that like I did them all half-assed. What about you? What are your thoughts? What do you do?
Those are all good. Dude, on the focus thing. So I just pulled mine up. I have a bunch of different ones. So I have Do Not Disturb, the Evergreen one. And then I have Focus with Riz, which like is literally Instagram, Tinder, Hinge, and everything else is silent. Personal, sleep, Webby mode, which is the only person who can contact me is Ben. And then work. So I have like, that's another level that you should use is like different focus settings, like custom for like wherever you're at in, you know, your day. So that's definitely a big one. I have that on all the time. And then actually more on like the phone side of stuff, like there's an app called Opal that Ben uses that I will never use because it basically just like blocks you from using social media at certain times of the day. Like it gives you like 15 minute little windows, which I think is stupid. But also grayscale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, it doesn't work. I used to be able to like hit my side button 4 times and it would like put your phone in black and white mode. So it's less like, it gives you less dopamine when you're looking at it.
Interesting.
But I mean, yeah, dude, like overall, like I think the biggest thing that people like should be doing is like put your phone in like a straight up other room in your house when you're trying to work. And, like, just don't look at it. Like just listen to music, lock into something else. I use Motion as my calendar, but it's not just like a calendar where I can book calls and stuff like that. It's also like where I tell myself what I'm going to do at what time. So like I have like time blocks where I won't take calls. Like I have, you know, every Tuesday, which I haven't done yet, but I'm going to, it's Alex in my inbox. So when I write that, like I have like little buckets of time where I know I'm supposed to be doing certain things. And so that helps me like just stay on track because I don't have to think about what I'm going to do. I just do it.
Yeah, 100%. I think like to the other extreme, like I'm trying to go like virtually no calls and virtually no commitments. So it's like, I'm always just in this state of just being able to be creative and like work on whatever I want. And it kind of goes across like productivity because it's almost like I'm being very productive, but it's like, I don't have that many things I'm working on. So I'm actually trying to like cut back massively on like taking calls and doing podcasts outside of this and doing events and just catching up with people and letting people pick my brain. So I think like my productivity hack is just like not doing anything other than like one or two things that I feel like I want to do that day. It's very rare, and I'm really curious to see how it goes. And like, I started this like yesterday, dude. I like went on 3 walks yesterday. I worked out twice. I felt like the best I ever did. I was like the least stressed ever. I went to bed the earliest I've gone. So it's not realistic probably for a lot of people, but like, that's what I'm trying to do, is like trying to get rid of most of my businesses and just focus on like one or two things. And just like, honestly, I just want to be a full-time content creator. Like at the end of the day, like that's all I want to do.
Bro, you're like David Goggins going on 3 walks a day and working out twice. Like that's
yeah. Wild. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of that guy, but yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah. Dude, well, good for you, man. I think all that stuff too, like physical activity, this is the last thing I guess we can say. Like everyone thinks that like physical exertion, like some sort of exercise, like going to the gym or going for a run or something like that, is going to like make you tired for the rest of the day. It does the opposite. Like I like afternoon workouts because I wake up and I work and I'm like on, but then I have a meal and I kind of crash for like, you know, 4 or 5 hours. But like if I go to the gym like about an hour after I eat lunch, then I'm back on and I like have way more, I can work like into the night. I feel way better.
Yeah. That second wind, right, is a real thing.
Yeah. 100%. All right, dude. Good one. All the Twitter thread boys are going to repurpose this conversation because they don't teach you this in school. Okay. Next one, biggest business nightmares. So
let's let you start this one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was really relying on what you were going to say, because I have a couple, but like all of mine, like, dude, I'm naturally like a people pleaser. And so like when I think of like the worst things that have happened in business, it's just like client mistakes. Yeah. I remember like it was actually almost a year ago, like today, like, or very similar. My team sent out an email. It makes me cringe just thinking about it. We sent out a launch email for a client like 2 weeks before they were supposed to launch the thing. And so the email went out and it was like, there was a buy now button when I think the button should have said like join the wait list or something. And this poor client just got inundated with emails saying like, hey, wait, like there's no product in the site. Like what? And I was like, oh, dude, I lost sleep over it for days. And we had to like do like an emergency email and basically just tell everyone, hey, sorry, accident. Like, didn't mean to do that. We got trigger happy. Other than that, like, I think that's really the only stuff that like really like bugs me. Like anything that's for my own business, like if I mess up my own business, it's not the worst thing in the world. There's been times where like I've lost, you know, money on hires or something like that. Like if I hire an agency and they just do a terrible job, it's not the worst thing in the world. Yeah, I don't know. What are some like terrible things that have happened to you?
I mean, yeah, I think for me, like my biggest pet peeve is like making the same mistake twice, either myself or otherwise. It's like, dude, everyone makes mistakes. That's cool. But if you make the same mistake twice, it means you either don't care or you didn't learn. So I think that's like my biggest pet peeve is like people that make the same mistake repeatedly, right? It's like, stop being lazy, come up with a solution, pay attention, just do something different. I think that's like my biggest pet peeve. And then like right before this, one thing that kind of like frustrated me was I was on LinkedIn and some company was trying to negotiate with me to sponsor my audience. Dude, they must've sent me 6 messages within a 30-minute window saying, does this sound good? I'm waiting for your reply. What's your rate? Are we going to do this? I'm like, oh my God. I literally messaged them saying like, we are not a good fit. And they're like, sorry that we asked for your rate. I'm like, no, that's the important part. The fact that you gave me 6 messages within 30 minutes, I didn't even have a chance to respond. Like if you're already being this needy up front, dude, we're not going to have a relationship. Like we're not going to work together because you're going to be so nitpicky about other things. So I think just being aware of like red flags and like people that are just too needy right now. It's like, dude, I have to be so patient at home with little kids. Like I just can't handle that now at work.
Oh yeah. I feel that, dude. That's brutal. What about like nightmares though? Like is there anything that's ever happened where like, it just like you make it, you're like, oh my God, like, I can't believe this is happening. Like just like the world is, I'll give you another one. Like, this is not me, obviously, but like someone else that I know was doing like $300,000-$400,000 a month with their business only from Instagram, and their Instagram got shut down and they can't stay. I don't know. They're being targeted. I don't know what's going on, but they can't stay up on Instagram for more than like a week at a time. And so they went from doing $400,000 a month to now they're like 15, 20K a month. And someone I know is working with them and they just like, it has just been a drastic drop. Like, dude, they're basically like done now. So like, that's a nightmare where it's like you lose your one and only channel.
Yeah.
Me or you, like you, we're both omni-channel.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like what, give me like a real like nightmare, like stake to the heart. Like we're done kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, dude. But I mean, back in the day, like when I was doing email marketing, I was doing cold email, regular email. I didn't really know what I was doing like 7, 8, 9 years ago. I would have a list, I'd have a domain, and things would just be burned. Accounts would be locked. I'd lose the entire list. So I think I've just been like kicked out and banned from like more email platforms than I probably should admit, and just lost my whole list and whatnot. I think like that, plus like just signing terrible deals with partnerships where there are some companies that like I was supposed to have equity in and ownership in, and I did all this work 1 or 2 years later, and it turned out I didn't own any of the company. I never signed the right documents. It was just all a verbal agreement. So I think my biggest nightmare is just, yeah, like being locked out of email platforms for lists I've built and not even being able to access the list. Like I literally couldn't even log in. I got deleted off the face of that platform. And then just relationships where I thought I owned something and it turned out that like I got screwed. I think those are my nightmares, and those like keep me up at night is like, you know, I don't know, always trying to be trusting, but also like, oh man, you have to have a little bit of protection. But I think the people now that I have like in my circle, I really trust, you know, you and Nick and some of the other people, like not everything is going to be perfect, but like, I know that we're always going to be looking out for each other and things are eventually going to be right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. There was something I wanted to say. Oh, what about, Bernie Singles? Like there were a couple of times where like you're getting
millions yeah.
It's a day or something like that, and your site would go down because you couldn't handle the volume. Like,
oh man, what a throwback. Yeah, dude. That was like in 2015 or 2016, we bought this site for like $5,000 on Flippa from these guys that we were trying to get involved with. They did such a terrible job building it, hence why they sold it for so cheap and so quickly. And we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know anything about this. We would get like a press article, or we'd get featured on Ellen DeGeneres or Stephen Colbert. We'd have hundreds of thousands or millions of people visit in a given day, week, month, whatever it was. And the site would be down for days. So we had this really great asset that was just such a headache and a nightmare because we could not keep it running. Where eventually like Bernie was out of the running, the site pretty much died. And then we flipped it for not much more than we sold it. And we spent a bunch of time, and part of why I'm probably so gray is probably from that experience. I kind of forgot about that. And now you're bringing back these scary memories.
Oh man. Yeah, dude. You said it was like losing money too, right?
It was losing money, and we were just spending tons of time. It was great in the fact that we drove millions, maybe tens of millions of people over like the life of owning that business. But it was terrible because like, yeah, you know, between what we paid for it, what we were losing, yeah, we probably lost low five figures. And back then, dude, like I was fresh out of college. I didn't have that money to lose. I didn't have that much money at all. So it put myself and my partners a little bit in a hole, but we used it as a case study. We were able to make money on the agency side. So the business itself didn't make money. It was an L, but it allowed us to have a case study and leverage that attracted brands that would work with us that we probably otherwise wouldn't have gotten. So we kind of netted out in some regard.
Nice. Okay. That's not bad. I mean, yeah, you're doing fine now.
Yeah. Yeah. We've recovered since.
I think like, dude, I'm super lucky. Like I've never really like lost a bunch of money, like where I've like put in money into something and then like lost all of it or something. Like I've never like taken a huge risk and just like gone to zero, which I don't know.
I have actually, you're right. You reminded me. I did that again last year. I tried building that email platform. Dude, I spent over six figures in like a year worth of time. And it was such a hard thing to build. I was pretty checked out. I don't think I had the right team. So dude, I literally probably burnt 125, 150K on that business.
Yeah. We could do an entire episode on just that. Actually, that's
oh man, these are things that like I didn't remember until you started saying that. I'm like, oh my God, like I think subconsciously I blurred these things out because they're so painful.
Well, man.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you haven't done that. Fingers crossed it doesn't happen to you.
Well, a couple people that I know have put in, like there's a current deal going on that is like 90% chance not going to happen, but they put in like high six figures, almost seven figures into this thing that's kind of sketchy. Not like it's off market, and chances are they're going to lose. Like these are regular, like 23, 24 year old kids. Like these are not like big investors. Like
yeah.
Deal probably going to fall through. It's brutal. It's brutal. What can happen. Like, so luckily, fingers crossed, knocking on wood, I'm knocking on all this stuff here. Cause like, I don't want that to happen anyway. So that was a nice light segment. This one's actually way better. Okay. So you have tweeted this, I think maybe once or twice, different variations of it. You said the best business decision, and correct me if I'm wrong, I might misphrase this, but the best business decision you can make is marry the right person. I am not married. I don't plan to be married for a minute, but you are, and you seem to be having a good time. Like, what can you make the case for why someone should get married for business?
If you are going to get married, I don't think that marriage is for everyone. I think people can decide, right, whether they want to be single, whether they want to get married. But if you are going to get married, who you marry is so important. I think it's the biggest decision because it impacts everything that you do, right? My wife and I've been together for, I don't know, 11 or 12 years. We've been married for almost 4. Like, she's been super supportive. Like, we met in college. I wasn't successful. She wasn't successful, but she always like supported and believed in me and like let me do the entrepreneurial thing, right? So I just feel so lucky. And then, you know, having 2 kids, you know, being a full-time mom is really hard, dude. I didn't realize how hard it was. And she told me that's what she wanted. And I'm like, come on, really? Like, you know, you need to work. You need to make some money. And this was like 5 years ago when we had that conversation. And she's like, no, I think you're going to do fine. You're going to do well. Like, I believe in you. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I got to double down. So I think marrying the right person, if you're getting married, is super important. But on the contrary, like, I was also thinking about this the other day, actually, when we were chatting, you know, being single and being young, you just turned, was it 24? You just turned 24. So, I mean, dude, like being young and doing the things, like you're spending 12, 14, 16 hours a day right now in the back, kind of in the building mode, probably 6-7 days a week. I just can't do that. Like, I have kids, I've got other things. So I think if you're going to be single and you really are going to like work hard and have fun, there's nothing wrong with that either. I just think the thing is like marrying the wrong person. That's really hard, right? But again, you don't know. I got lucky. That was kind of my point. Like, if you are going to make a big decision and even business partners, right? Make sure that you're getting in with the right people, people that you trust, people that you know, people that you have some history with. Otherwise, it's really hard. And with a marriage, you know, it's like a business thing. When you break up, when you split up, when you divorce, whatever that might be, it gets messy and it's really challenging.
Yeah. I've heard some horror stories of dudes who are like not that much older than you that are like, dude, just awful. Like, guys that have to like start a GoFundMe so they can pay for legal fees to fight their wife and go, like the mother of their children. Brutal. So, I mean, I hear you on that one. Definitely don't marry the wrong person. It is a huge decision. And yeah, dude, like, I think like I definitely want to get married and have kids. I can't really relate to anyone that doesn't have that urge at least some point in their life. Like, I don't know. I think like that's kind of like the whole point of everything, at least for me. But yeah, I don't know. I would like to be semi-retired by the time I get married. Like, maybe like by the time I'm like in my early 30s, I'm like, all right, you know, you've built up a nice nest egg and it's like time to relax. And then you can work on stuff kind of passively, kind of like you are now, where it's like you've done your grinding phase. I actually remember the tweet, dude. I like all of your like early tweets are like imprinted in my mind. I remember.
I love it.
I remember. Do you remember tweeting that? Like, you were like, my accountant, good news, everyone. My accountant just told me that my wife doesn't need to work.
Yeah.
But there was like a certain point. Yeah. They ran the numbers and they were like, all right, Mrs. Diamond, like you're good. You're off the hook.
Yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah. Like, kind of going back to what I was saying before, like my wife and I had a conversation like 5 years ago where she told me, hey, you know, as we start, I think we had just gotten engaged because we've been married for almost 4 years. It's like, it'd be cool if we started a family, if I just was able to stay home with the kids. And at that time, 5 years ago, I was doing decent, but I wasn't doing like that well. I'm like, oh man, like staying home with the kids, I think we probably could use the income or whatever. And she's like, just double down, just believe in yourself. And then, you know, we're about to get married, or we had just gotten married. We found out we're pregnant. We were talking to the accountant, trying to do some planning. And she's like, Chase, like, why are you stressed? Why are you worried? Like, you guys are fine. She doesn't have to work. Like, you can breathe. And that to me was like the moment that I felt like I was successful, was the fact that like my wife had the choice whether she wanted to work or not. Right. You know, if she wanted to work, I was going to support her. And if she wanted to stay home, I was going to support her. But the fact that it was our decision and ultimately her decision, that moment to me was really, really, really special. So And then now kind of with what I mentioned before, like trying to peel back on calls and meetings and businesses and stuff, I wouldn't say I'm semi-retired. I'm definitely still working, but like, because I like to, and because I want to, just being present in my kids' lives is super important. So yeah, they're definitely, these are not the conversations I was having as a 24-year-old. So it's really cool. Like I kind of look at you as a friend and be kind of like a little bro, right? Or like my little brothers or, you know, your age and whatnot. Like, I wish I had an older sibling to have these conversations with. So yeah. That's cool that you remember that.
Yeah. I got some good influences in my life. You're like the angel on my shoulder. Like, I have a couple of friends who are your age that are like the devil over here. And they're like, nah, dude, just be single the rest of your life, dude. Like, it's gonna be so much more fun. Like, you could be 40 and have a boat with a bunch of 20-year-old girls on it. I'm like, no, dude, like,
oh my gosh,
over here to tell me what to do. Like, tell me to be married and stuff like that. And I will, I'll be married.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
this is fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, good stuff. Well, I'll do the sign off. Everyone follow at Ecom Chase Diamond, no A in Diamond. Did I get it right? Yep.
Nailed it.
At Cardinal Mason on Twitter and TikTok, at Cardinal Mace on Instagram. If you're seeing this, you know, before 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, then sign up to the free class and I can teach you how to be a freelance copywriter and make 5 to 15K a month.
And on that note, if you're watching this after that, every Thursday, Mason's doing weekly training. So find him on Twitter or TikTok, look for a link in his bio or something he's going to share and make sure that you're there. I think last time there was like 1,500 people live, maybe 2,000 people live on the last one.
Almost. Yeah.
Insane. All right, brother. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care, everybody. See you, Chase.